And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert for Tuesday, March 15th, the Ides of March, Mark, so beware.
I know. I'm glad I've got the right guy on my side over here. You're going to have a tough time getting to me.
Well, I'm Dave Slade, the Cradle Catholic.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, the Convert.
Hey, Mark, it's Election Day.
It is.
And the polls will be closing here in Illinois in about an hour. I hope you all got out to vote today for your favorite candidates.
Yep, this one's important.
The other thing they're talking about today is the possibility of severe weather. And we just want people to know that WDCR is part of the emergency broadcast system. And if any sort of weather emergency or any other kind of emergency, amber alerts, any of that, were to be announced by the National Weather Service, we would cut into programming here on WDCR and keep you posted about the weather.
And remember, folks, there's one surefire way to save yourself, and that's through prayer to the good Lord.
There you go. And
that even trumps the National Weather Service.
Yep. And tomorrow starts the NCAA basketball tournament.
It does.
Did you know this is the third year in a row that the state of Illinois has no team?
Yes, I do.
In
so is media. I've followed that closely.
Yeah. We have Palm Sunday coming up this week.
Yep.
And Holy Week the following week. So
indeed.
It's a great time to work out your Lenten promises and to do what you thought you might start at the beginning of Lent and go back and review that and see how you're doing. This evening, though, we're going to discuss the pathway to discipleship of Jesus Christ. Webster defines disciple as someone who accepts and helps to spread the teachings of a famous person. The Diocese of Springfield, in its vision and foresight, has recognized that our discipleship to Christ is such a priority, if not the priority, that we now have an office for discipleship, and the director of this office is Father Chuck Edwards. And Father Chuck is with us in the studio this evening to explain the diocese mission of his office. Father, welcome. Can you take a minute and introduce yourself to us and our listeners?
Sure. Thank you. Father Chuck Edwards, I live now in Ashland, Illinois, about 20 miles west of Springfield, and I'm the Director of Stewardship and Discipleship for the Diocese of Springfield since last January, a year ago January. I have been in many parishes throughout the diocese. I'm ordained now 30 years come May.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And was asked by Bishop Paprocki to enter into this new ministry for our diocese. It's been a wonderful journey so far to be able to connect with so many wonderful people throughout the diocese, and this is a great vision for our church, and it's something that I've come to really believe in myself, as well as so many people that I've been connecting with. So I'm excited about it. Glad to be with you today.
Good. Bishop Paprocki has created this Office of Discipleship, and I read your article weekly in the Catholic mm-hmm. Times. Tell us what exactly the goals and the objectives are of your special ministry.
When I went out to visit the Diocese of Wichita, as you know, where Bishop Kemi is now, certainly what they share is discipleship is a way of life. The encouragement is to challenge and invite every Catholic Christian to live a life of discipleship and to see themselves as nothing less than a true disciple. Just like Jesus invited the first disciples, he's inviting us to that same type of a life. We don't want it to be enough just to say we're Catholic or even to say I belong to Holy Family Parish or Our Lady of Lourdes Parish. But to really say that I am a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so going around and talking about that with the people of the diocese through meeting in the deaneries as well as throughout the diocese, it's something that I find the people want to hear and want to hear more about and want to look at that option of stepping into that complete walk with Christ. So I've been doing it for about a year, loving it.
You know, Father, I've said this, and it's not original. Matthew Kelly, I think, first said it, but I truly believe in it, and that is Catholicism is not merely a faith. it is a way of life. It encompasses your entire life and your conduct and your thinking and so forth. So I think this is really interesting, this ministry here, because it causes folks to think about that, the commitment they made at baptism and confirmation.
It does.
Our faith.
It does. One of the things I've heard, how important it is, and the challenge for our church is to become a church that doesn't just do church, but we be church. Really, what the church is called to be, a reflection of Jesus Christ, an extension of the hands and heart of Jesus Christ. And to fully live that day in, day out, everywhere we are, in every aspect of our life, not just on Sunday when we come to Mass. And we certainly have great examples that we've come to know in our church's history, and yet we want to take this to every life, every heart, every person baptized in our church, and challenge them to live that fullness of life.
And what's that entail, Father?
Well, you know, we teach that stewardship and discipleship is a person's response to God out of a grateful heart. And so we recognize that everything we have, we may work hard, and so many people do, but God still is the author of our life, and He is the source of all the blessings we have. And so our stewardship, our call to discipleship, is our response out of gratitude to offer back to Him our very best. Matthew Kelly, as you shared, says the best version of yourself, and to offer nothing less. We have a document that we are using called the Pillars of Stewardship, and we want to take that to every parish. And on the front of it is a picture of the cathedral, and gratefully, it has four pillars holding the church up.
Indeed.
Well, the four pillars of stewardship are hospitality, prayer, formation, and service. It's the foundation that we believe that if parishes take those four pillars, hospitality, prayer, formation, and service, and really bring them alive in the parish, then you will have, and the goal is to become a total stewardship discipleship parish. We have 128 parishes. When we get, hopefully, to all of those parishes to get on board, then we'll have a total stewardship diocese, similar to what everyone sees and admires in the Diocese of Wichita.
Yes.
But for all that to happen, you have to first go, as Sherry Waddell writes in her book, Forming Intentional Disciples, you have to create intentional disciples. People that say they are a disciple and that every day they intend, their intention is to live that life of a true disciple. And that's kind of where we're starting. I've went around to all the pastors. They say it over and over that if Bishop Papraki isn't willing to be the conductor of the train, then it ain't going to go anywhere.
That's right.
And then also if the priests and sisters and deacons and brothers, if we're not willing to get on the train, then it ain't going to go anywhere as well. Mm-hmm. But it's not to say we're the only important people, but before we can ask the laity to get on board, we've got to do it ourselves. We've got to be willing to say, I am not just a priest, sister, whatever, I'm an intentional disciple. And so I asked those pastors to give me 5 to 6 names in all the parishes, because in my first year, I wanted to take those 625 people, 45, whatever, and start to create a fire in the hearts of those first disciples with the priests and the sisters and deacons. And so by the end of this year, I'm going around to the 7 deaneries of our diocese. 3 of the meetings were meeting in Springfield with the bishop, so all of them are coming together. And then 3 of them are going to be in each deanery. In the month of February, I came here to Decatur, as I did to the other ones.
Right.
And I met with just the representatives from the deanery. And we're taking these four pillars, and we're doing formation ourselves, talking about what's going on in your parish. In regards, the first one we're doing is hospitality. Mm-hmm. Wichita says over and over, hospitality on purpose was the first pillar.
Right.
Because if you don't have that, then your parish isn't going to thrive. People aren't going to want to join. People aren't wanting to do anything but maybe just go to Mass.
Or even stay there.
Yeah, and you're right, because there's options. And so we've spent this month looking at hospitality, and it's just been amazing to listen to the sharing of the people and the thoughts of how we can best do hospitality well. Some parishes openly at this meeting will say, you know, we're not too far with this. But then they learn from some of the good parishes who have a lot going on. And we're trying to then bring about then a document that will say, okay, here's what we believe every parish needs, small or large, it doesn't matter. If you can bring these elements of hospitality, you're going to have an active, engaged church, an engaged parish where people love. They support out of their love. They belong. It's not an obligation. It's a way of life. And this becomes their family, their parish family, extended family. And people want to come and join.
And Father, I have to tell you, with having my family all over the country, there's some in North Carolina, some in Washington State. I've been to many, many parishes around the country. And to me, the first thing you do other than visualize the church as you pull into the lot and go up to it, the key people are the greeters. Oh, and so many
sure.
times you have folks that just open the door. But those parishes I've been to where not only do they open the door, but they recognize you as a stranger.
They do.
And they immediately come
forward. And out of a hospitality sense.
Exactly.
Not just who is he, but hey, welcome.
Where are you from?
And they want to know. They genuinely really do want to know.
That is key, in my opinion.
It is, because we're not going to be coming back. Most of us are on vacation.
That's right.
And yet they still want to know. There's really not much to gain other than that connection.
Well,
it's a welcoming spirit.
We have a long way to go in that, too, Father, in that
you do.
I've sat around the same people at Mass since I was a baby. And I can recognize them by face, but I don't know their name. Until we had a book, picture
right.
book. Now Petrol I know most of their
directory,
names.
Directory, and that's a valuable tool.
I've become more involved. So
every
I have
dinner
learned.
I went to talked about that aspect
yep.
of how important it is. And sometimes people, you know, the priest or someone will lead us to say, okay, before we begin Mass, if you turn to one another and say hello. And we do, but not many people say, what's your name?
Yeah.
Who
right.
are you? You
right.
know, that type of thing. And we know them because that's usually the same Mass I go to and the
same
place
seat.
I sit in all the time.
Yeah.
You know. And so it is taking that next step to say, I want to know you.
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
know, I don't want
it's
to just
important.
Sit by you
yeah,
on Sunday.
Important.
I want to know you.
Yeah.
It's important to me, and that's what parish family is about.
You know, one of the neatest things I saw a priest do, and he, at the beginning of the Mass, opened it and so forth.
The
penitential rite?
Act one.
Yes, yes, a penitential rite. Thank you, Father. Before that penitential rite, he said, anyone who's not normally here at this parish, raise your hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're here visiting or a relative or something, raise your hand. And a couple hands went up. And he said, where are you from? And, you know, they told him, and he went around. He took maybe 5 minutes, but that was really neat.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And I've not seen that done.
And you can recognize them then, which somewhat makes sense because they're going to be worshiping with us for the rest of the hour. Get to know them then. But some people wait till after communion and do the same mm-hmm. thing, which is fine. Sometimes they'll have a blessing, you know, for those families who are visiting out of gratitude that they chose to come and be with them. But, you know, I've asked every one of these meetings, how many of you have been on vacation? Yeah. How many of you went to church to some other place? Yeah. You know, what was it like? Everybody said the same thing. It's so exciting to go into a place where they really want to know you. The pastor will ask you where you're from and then tell everybody where you're from. And we all have had that experience. All the more, our churches need to be the same.
Right.
You know, no offense to any little parish in our diocese, but most people aren't going to be vacationing, you know, in Stonington.
That's true.
So
that's true.
That's a little different than when we go to Florida
right,
or Denver
right,
or wherever.
Right.
But still the same truth of people wanting to be welcomed when they're not from there is in every parish. You know, people come home for the holidays.
Right.
You know, and so the more we can do it, again, more people are going to be proud and happy to be a part of this family. It's not just going to be the place I go to church.
Sure. Well, you know, a couple things strike me. One is that when you look at the mega churches, they have the coffee bars and the great big
right,
meeting areas
right.
before they go into where they have services. And the more modern churches, say, built from the late 50s on, such as Holy Family, Our Lady of Lourdes, mm-hmm. Christ the King over in Springfield, they have an area outside of the sanctuary, basically, where people can get together. Now, I belong to St. James and Patrick here in town, two of the oldest, the two oldest churches in Macon County that were built for going right to Mass and leaving. There's no social area. And
that's one of the neat things we've talked about in most all the deaneries as well is space.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our smaller parishes, because that doesn't cost as much money, like St. James and Patrick, that's right out on the main hard road too, is how important it is to have a good welcoming space to be able to offer you that ability, you know, to do this ministry well. And if you're in one of these small little churches that only has a 2x4 vestibule, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's difficult. Some of them have built on nice little gathering areas.
Yes.
You know, but that's important if you really want to do it well.
Well, let's talk about the second pillar, Father.
Sure. Prayer. Obviously, prayer is core to who we are as Catholics. But it's important to realize that it can't just be Mass, as beautiful as our Mass is. There are so many ways to pray and to help people to become people of prayer. Certainly, I saw in one of your brochures here, you know, Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yes.
And so having that option, you know, our goal, one of our goals, we've got some goals already kind of created based on some of the success. Out in Wichita, they have 15,786 hours of adoration a week by people.
Imagine that.
So you can tell the foundation of why good things are happening there.
Absolutely, sure.
So our goal is to have adoration in 100 of our 128 communities, institutions, because as you have it here in the hospital, some places have it in the hospitals throughout the diocese too. So it doesn't just have to be in the church. It can be many places. But, you know, our hope is it could be anywhere and everywhere. But our goal now is to set out to bring about that experience of 100 places. But again, many other opportunities for prayer and worship. So prayer is also devotions, the common devotions that we've always had, the beauty of the rosary,
indeed,
certainly, and many other ones that so many people choose, but also to offer opportunities of adult education, Bible study, small faith communities. If you've done any of the retreats like Curcio or Koinonia or Tech or Marriage Encounter, you know, you've seen that the beauty of those aren't just to create this big, great, fun weekend,
right,
but to come home and live it out with small groups.
And to learn.
5 and 6 minutes, yeah, who pray together, you know. And so that obviously, that pillar is core, but it's really having the mind that you have to have good prayer. You can't just have ways to pray, but you have to look at your parish and look at how do we pray here. Is it really an uplifting, spirit-filled encounter with the living God prayer? Or is it I went and got my obligation fulfilled?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so part of it is how we create beautiful prayer, worship, music, liturgy. But that's also the attitudes of the people who walk in the door. If they're there to just do an obligation, it won't be powerful prayer.
That's right.
You know?
Okay, Mark, we're going to take a quick break here. And on the other side, we'll have a few minutes to finish up with formation and service. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on 88.9 WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.
We'll be right back.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert, where we're taking care of business this evening with Father Chuck Edwards from the Diocese Office on Discipleship. Father Chuck, we've got two more categories to hit, and I know you got some important stuff there, so take it away.
Well, the third is pillar is formation. And so being able to offer all Catholics opportunities, you know, we've got great, the gift of Catholic education.
Indeed.
Whether it be as the grade school level or the high school level, and we have Catholic universities as well, Newman Centers, but also in the parish to have adult education formation opportunities and to fill them, not just have the same 30 people who constantly wants to grow and grow and grow, but to create some great opportunities for formation that people really want to grow in and help to be to help them to become the disciple that they want to be. And so creating those things and having them in an area, you know, you may not have them in all 128 parishes, but certainly to have them close to all of our parishes, that gives people the opportunity to do that. When you find that sense of a parish and you're a part of that parish that is hospitable, that is very, very prayerful, that offers you opportunities to grow in your faith, then the fourth pillar becomes service, how you're called then to live a life of action, a life of true discipleship, of saying, you know, God, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Show me where it is that you want me to share my gifts to bring blessing to the church. And so those pillars, again, if they're foundational and really have grown in every parish, it's going to be a life-giving experience for people to be a part. And they'll want more, and they'll want to become this intentional disciple, you know, that we hope for. Some of the things that we've seen happen out in Wichita that obviously we believe can happen here as well is, you know, we have Catholic education. One of the things they have there is they have Catholic education in all their schools, but it's funded by the parishes. There's no Catholic tuition. Mm. So people, you know, before you had to be able to pay the tuition to
right,
go to school.
Right, right.
Now it's going to open the doors so that every kid, every child can go to a Catholic school. They have to want to go there for the right reasons. But the parish then supports the workings of all those schools, which is a phenomenal goal to achieve.
Now, is that through tithing, Father?
It is through tithing. It is through stewardship. It is through, you know, fully living out what the Scripture calls us to be a gospel model of stewardship, and that's to tithe. And tithe, the word tithe means one-tenth, and it's the first tenth. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole way that we have to teach and form, and that's down the road, because we want to say over and over, this is really not about money. This is really about a way of life, a true way of life. And so that's one goal, to be able to achieve that in our 49 Catholic grade schools and high schools. Vocations. They have 63 seminarians in the Diocese of Wichita.
That's incredible.
That's what Bishop Kemi walked into. And I've been out there when he's met with them. And they're wonderful guys. And you talk to them just like Braden we were talking about.
Yes.
Wonderful guys who have said yes. And we want to encourage, you know, the women religious vocations as well.
Oh, absolutely.
But in the priesthood, you know, for the diocese, it's just amazing. These guys that come and they ask you, I ask them, you know, what leads you to want to be a priest? And I know it's parents and family, but they'll tell you right off, the number one reason, we've got happy priests.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got happy priests because they've got parishes that are total stewardship
dioceses.
Vibrant,
yeah.
Right. We're not pulling our hair out trying to keep things open.
Yes.
But, you know, we're able to do all these wonderful ministries. And so our goal is to have, we have 24 now. We only had 11 5 years ago. So we're doing good.
Indeed.
We're doing well. But our goal is to have 40 seminarians by the year 2020 and to have 50 seminarians by the year 2025. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Brian Alford, great vocation director.
Yeah.
One of the great things
out
there.
Yeah, we've had him in
Father
Alford.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Is mass attendance out there. 75% of all Catholics in Wichita go to mass.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
I mean, across the board, 30 to 40 maybe. But their better one is they say 75% of the 78% are intentional disciples.
Wow.
So they're not just showing up.
Man, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So that's the goals that, you know, and there's more goals. But
how long did it take them to get there, Father?
30 years is what they've been. It started
yes.
in 1985, but it was a seven-year process.
Right.
Within 7 years, 85 to 92, and that's our goal, is to look at 7-8 years to be able to get us all there. You have to maintain. That's what they've been doing for the last 22 years. But it's about seven, 8 years.
Wow.
But we got time.
Oh, absolutely. That's
yeah,
exciting.
We're off slow.
I guess I didn't realize that Kansas was the land of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
Honestly.
At least this other, Carl's, at least this other.
Yeah. Honestly. Well, Father, there's a lot to talk about.
Yes,
and
there
we'd
is.
Like to have you back again
yes,
as the
would.
Process continues.
I would love it.
And we hope that you've enjoyed being with us tonight. Next week on the show, Mark's going to discuss the physiology of the crucifixion of Jesus from a discussion you had with Dr. Penning. Is
Dr.
that right?
Penning has provided me with a document, and we'll talk about him next week, but a very good friend of mine and a very, very faithful Catholic and a good disciple.
And good. We'd like to welcome Catherine Smith to the board, also a new board member that just started this month.
Yes.
She's a member of Holy Family and will be a great addition to the board. We're always looking for listeners' ideas and feedback. You can contact us here at the studio at 464-1099. Any kind of ideas, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes,
464-1099. Father, can you give us your blessing here to wrap up the show?
Sure. May the Lord now bless you and keep you. May he bless this wonderful ministry of taking the gospel to our people through this radio. We thank you for these men that have retired from two great professions of serving our communities in the police force. We thank you that they've said yes to doing such a wonderful vocation here. And may the Lord continue to bless you in this ministry. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again, Father. God bless you, and thanks for being here. We'll talk to you all next week.
Night all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.